This is episode 406, dated Monday, September 1st, 2025. Happy Labor Day. You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Good afternoon, sports fans near and far. Those of you who know Bob Branco's voice will notice that this is not Bob Branco. Bob Branco is enjoying a family cookout barbecue. So is another one of our usual spelunkers, Mitch Pomerantz. I just came from a family barbecue, and I think Luther did as well. So we were all in the process of enjoying burgers, brats, chips, salad, whatever else, or in the process of doing so.
Haven't had mine yet, but I am
here. Or will enjoy. Yes. Hope those of you who are listening to this later in the week had a great Labor Day. We are here to do our sports thing. So first, our panel members. I'm from Coos Bay, Oregon, where it's about 65 degrees and beautiful outside. Who else we have here? We have Don Wardlow.
Hi there. I'm in Jersey, where it's hotter today than it was yesterday, Sunday, which is when we had our family picnic. And the one good feature about that, my sister has got four dogs, and I love petting those dogs. They were the highlight of the whole party yesterday.
So you didn't eat the hot dogs, Don?
Oh, we had the chicken and steak.
Yum.
So I had those to eat and I had the real dogs to play with.
There you go. Michael Garrett.
Yes, and welcome from a beautiful day in Missouri City, Texas, where it's about 82 degrees. We had showers earlier, but it didn't keep me from ending my pit. I've still got some meat on the pit, so we're going to celebrate here shortly, right after we get off of this call.
Michael Garrett, you are a bit low in the feed. Can you speak into the microphone or stand your head or something?
All right. Is that better?
A little louder.
Is that better?
Much. Thank you.
All right.
Luther
and Peter, Mitch Pomerantz is here.
Oh, okay. Let's do Luther. We'll do Mitch. Luther.
Good afternoon from a 83 degree Nashville, Tennessee on Labor Day 2025. And we got some stuff to get into today.
We do. Mitch Pomerantz.
I am here. Just got back from my mother-in-law's, and it's 91 here. We've got some humidity. They're even making noise about some sprinkles later on. We'll see what happens, but happy Labor Day to everyone, and from beautiful downtown Pasadena.
So we're all here after all, except for Bob, who is doing his barbecue. Thank you, Raymond Gay, for producing and editing and all the good work you do this podcast. Thank you, media outlets who broadcast this show for us and promote us. And then, of course, Jackie Silvia, who produces Bob's website. You can go to brancoevents.com, B-R-A-N-C-O, events.com, and look for Sports Roundtable link and the episodes, podcasts, or broadcast from latest to earliest, at which point somebody says, merci, Jackie.
That would be you, Petey.
And then we need to acknowledge our host, which is Ray Campbell, who is a Green Bay Packer fan, if my memory is correct. And that may become
that
relevant.
That is correct.
We may ask Ray to deviate from his responsibilities and talk about certain things if he's willing to do that. Thank you, Ray. And Brad is our streamer. Thank you, Brad. And as Bob often says, for those who may be new and don't have Bob's email address, it is branco93@gmail.com. Bob branco93@gmail.com. It is Bob Branco 93, I hope, 93@gmail.com. So we have a lot to talk about. I'm going to propose that we start with Jerry Jones. How can we not start a show without Jerry Jones?
The gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, it is sort of amazing. This morning, ESPN Radio, which is where I get most of my sports spent most of the time talking about Jerry. What else is new? So let's start with the Dallas Cowboy fan. Michael, what are your thoughts about what happened and what the future might hold and so on and so forth?
Well, let's go back to the negotiating process and the irony, because the thing that happened yesterday gave me some cause to puzzle. Jerry didn't want to deal with Micah Parsons' agent, but why then did he give Deron Bland a $92 million extension with a $50 million guaranteed money? And they worked it out with his agent. That puzzles me. It makes me think that there were other things going on in the relationship. Most of the players thought that they would sign him, but I don't know. Something broke down in the negotiations, and all of a sudden he ends up with the Packers. So
I think
go figure,
Mike. I think what this came down to was this. As Mike Florio talks about while all this saga was being played out, I believe that Mike Florio is right when he said he wanted to have Micah play on a fifth-year option and they were going to kick the can down the road to next year. Micah basically forced his hand. David Mulligata basically told Jerry to go take that contract and go shove it. And basically, they got a quick deal done. And the only reason that deal is going to get depending on what those draft picks are going to be, Green Bay controls out where those draft picks are going to land in the first round. So basically they basically got Green Bay's draft picks to control their draft picks, but they won't know what spots they'll be until the season records are tallied. How far does Green Bay go and so on and so forth. So Dallas is basically in a tough spot.
But a first round draft pick is a first round draft pick in my opinion, standpoint. And it gives you a little draft capital. You got multiple first round draft picks. If you, let's say you want to move up, you can package that.
Well,
they have some options, but the point is you've given up a generational player.
Exactly. And who's only 26.
Yeah. And you got a 30-year-old in return. I don't know. I had the Cowboys finishing last in the division before Micah was dealt away, and I still have them finishing last. They've got to prove to me that they can come out of it.
Hey Rev, let me ask you this at the macro and micro level here, if you don't mind. Do you think that Jerry and Stephen Jones got scared for what they had to do with Dak Prescott? They waited too long until the season opening game where he got his $60+ million deal hours before kickoff against the Eagles in Dallas a year ago.
I don't think that Jerry learned anything from that.
I don't think he did either.
Nothing scares the Jones, dictators.
Yeah, he wants it his way, and that's just the way it is. I'm hoping, if Jerry steps down, that we don't know exactly what kind of general manager Steven will be, or even if he will run the organization the way Jerry runs it. He may decide not to be the general manager, hire a real general manager.
I hope.
Sit in the owner's box just like he should.
If Steven Jones takes it over, I hope, and Don, you know this like I do, I hope and pray he doesn't pull what the Steinbrenners have done with the Yankees.
Right, where Hank is nowhere near the man that his father was, or how, mm-mm. Whichever, they're clones anyway.
They're clones.
Whichever one it is nowhere near the man that Big Daddy was. Now, here's my question. You said something about Dallas getting a first round draft choice. Now, it would seem to me if Green Bay was like 12-4, then they would draft much later and the Dallas draft choice wouldn't be as good. And if they were 4-12, they would draft earlier and Dallas would then get a better draft choice if the football draft runs that way, which I'm not sure.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
But here's the thing. The reason I was looking at it from a different angle is that you take Dallas's first round draft choice and you got the Green Bay draft choice. It gives you a little draft capital because you can decide whether you want to package those choices to move way up, or you package that second draft choice with a third round draft choice and move up. I mean, there are different options they can do with it, even though you think that Green Bay will probably have a better record. And this is next year. Yeah, this is next year's draft. Green Bay will most likely have a better record than Dallas, in my opinion.
Well, we'll all start to find that out coming up this Thursday, what the Cowboys look like. Real quick.
The left tackle for the Eagles said, yeah, I feel a little better.
I saw that over the
Cowboys without Parsons.
I saw that over, and look, I saw that, what was it, early last week, like Friday, and it's like, he's like, thank God the Cowboys don't have Micah Parsons up. We don't have to chase around anymore. I'm like, can you imagine when?
So Ray, I don't want to get you in trouble because I know I'm asking you to sort of violate the rules of hostdom. But if you can, I'd love to get your take on what, you know, Green Bay's part of this process.
Well, I'm sad we lost Kenny Clark because I think he's just so steady at the run defense. I think that Green Bay knew they needed to get better on the pass rush. And so this is why they made the move to team Parsons up with Rashawn Gary, and try to get better on the pass rush. I'm very concerned that the run defense is going to suffer because of it, because Kenny Clark was so steady at the run defensive line.
He was steady at times. He wasn't constantly in the backfield. So I think it's going to be an upgrade. But again, I hope Kenny Clark finds success in that metropolis disgustment cesspool known as the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I do too. Well,
I want to make a couple of comments. One, Kenny Clark is coming off his worst season.
Yes, he is.
A lot of speculation. He only had one sack. And, you know, he's 30 years old. That's old in football, sadly.
Yes, that's dog years.
So Dallas may not be getting the run stuffer that they hope they're getting. But my other comment, and I took a particular interest in Green Bay last year because Jordan Love was my fantasy quarterback and was very disappointing. They're already having injury issues with Jake Reed, who has a broken foot that he thinks he can play through. They've got a rookie in Rashawn Golden as their
Matthew Golden, the receiver at Texas.
And the problem is, do we really trust rookie receivers?
Well, here's the thing. Mitch, like we always talk about quite often, we're going to find out real quick how good these kids are. Because guess what? They're going to have to play because Romeo Dobbs. What is it?
Yeah. Watch
Dobbs. Dobbs is coming off of.
Mitch, go ahead, Mitch.
Well, for all of Green Bay's, you know, on paper, you know, top notch young receivers. Yeah. They're going to have to prove it. I don't know who Love is gonna start as his go-to guy. If he's relying on a rookie receiver as his go-to guy, well, good luck.
Let me tell you something about Golden.
Tell me.
The guy can get open.
Yes, he can.
He's got the speed and he knows how to get open. So now he hadn't played against NFL quarterbacks, but he can get open.
So, and the thing is,
that's going to be really interesting to see.
Here's what I'm wondering, though. If Matthew Golden does become that guy that Green Bay hasn't had probably since Antonio Freeman, which has been a while, do they consider basically telling Christian Watson thanks, but no thanks? Because they drafted him to be that guy and he hadn't stayed healthy either. So Green Bay's got a couple of guys that they, that, you know, that they drafted high on that haven't really, you know, put themselves in a position to be trusted in the pecking order.
Doesn't it depend on when Watson comes back? He's not coming back right away.
I don't know when he's coming back. I don't even think they've set a timetable for him.
I don't think they know.
I haven't really heard anything.
I haven't heard any, I think it's like what?
I think November sticks in my mind. Well, he's coming off an ACL, I think.
Well, yeah. If he comes back in November, let's say that would put this lake at what, week 13, 14?
Yep.
Right around Thanksgiving?
Yep. And I think that, I'll just tell you, I think they've had some other guys since, you know, Freeman. I think Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson.
Really good at getting open. You know,
Jennings, a few other guys.
Yeah, when he needed to make a completion, he'd go to, especially later in
Jennings,
time in Green Bay, Jennings or Nelson.
Yep.
Later on.
Yep. You're right.
So even Parsons has to take a shot in for his back. So they say he may play week one.
I don't think he does
have a back injury.
Here's the thing though. I don't think he's going to be available to play week one. So, you know, if he's available, say the 15th or the 16th of the next Packers game is, hopefully all that rest will allow him to actually get healed, because we're going to need him for like Detroit again, Minnesota, Chicago.
Well, and we come right out of the gate. We play Detroit. And then we play Washington. And Washington. That is not going to be easy.
Washington is
on the rise.
Two games in 3 days.
Yep.
You get basically what? 2 days of practice, a Wednesday walkthrough, and you're playing Thursday.
So I would like.
And they have to play Myles Garrett on the.
That's that's later in the season though, about what, week 8 or 10?
No, it's the 21st. It's after their third game, they play Cleveland.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So
that offensive line is going to be tested.
I want to do two quick things before we throw it open to the audience. The first thing I want to do is ask for reaction to the first college football weekend. Michael, you've been following Arch a little bit more than the rest of us,
and
clearly he didn't play especially well. But how did he take the first week?
I missed the first half. Unfortunately, I had to go to one of my best friend's funeral. The second half, he seemed to come together a little bit, but I don't blame it all on him, because when they got to the red zone, the play calling,
just
went terrible.
They went too conservative.
You had an effective running game outside the 20-yard line. Why do you go to quarterback draws inside the red zone?
Here's another question. Why are you throwing when you get down inside the five? I was listening to the drive that they had. What was it? First drive of the game. They had gotten it inside the 40. And I'm like, why are you trying to go half boot waggle left when you had a wide open crease in the middle of the field? I mean, they had it blocked up, and he tried to go left.
Well, obviously, there's some growing pains. That was the comparison to Manning and Ty Sims at Alabama. You know, now the everything's on their shoulder. So,
but Mike, you said it last week.
Yeah,
you called it.
They put a lot of pressure on the kid. Making the team number one just because of his name. His name is not going to win. His name is not playing. He's the one playing.
You know,
Michael, I heard something interesting this morning, and because Steve Sarkisian had a brief alcohol-filled tenure here at USC, they were blaming him for bad play calling. I mean, it's not on Arch Manning to design the plays. He's the man who's supposed to execute them. But they're saying Sarkisian should bear a lot of the responsibility for Texas offense.
That's my reasoning. Inside the 20-yard line, he changed the whole game.
Yeah. And I was listening. What was it?
I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all.
Was it just me? I mean, I was listening to the Catholics versus Convicts game last night, Miami and Notre Dame. Was it me, or did Carson Beck look better than he did at with his time and his 2 or 3 years as the starter at Georgia before he transferred out and Gunnar Stockton took it over?
What they said was that he looked mature. He looked like he knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
As opposed to the Notre Dame quarterback who looked like a deer in the headlights.
I can't remember. I think the kid's name was Carl. Yeah, exactly.
It's that experience that helps. And he probably got a new, you know, what? Undoubtedly got a new offensive coordinator.
A new lease on life.
Team. And Beck's a good, he's a good control type quarterback. I don't think he's a dual threat, but he's a good control type quarterback. So they're going to be dangerous.
Here's another thing.
What interests me about this week is obviously the SEC didn't do especially well. Alabama got killed. Much to my delight.
Let us all say bravo to that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Let me put it this way though, guys. Here's the thing. The same problem Texas had, Alabama had. After the first drive, they got too conservative. After that long 8, almost 9 minute scoring drive, first drive of the day, they just went away from what was working. They tried to get too darn cute trying to use Ty Simpson's ability. If it's working, why are you going away from it? If you're having success with it, why are you going away from it? So I put most of that on Kalen DeBoer. And if he doesn't figure it out quick, him and his whole coaching staff are going to be out.
But what this tells me is that everybody seems to think that Clemson is the team to beat in the ACC.
No, they're not.
It's not clear to me that's the case at all. You got Florida State, you got Miami, you got, I think SMU's part of that.
SMU's in that. Well, look, SMU made the SEC title game last year.
I have no.
Well guess what?
We'll find that out
in 2.5 hours.
We'll do that tonight. Yeah.
Yes, we will. Yeah. That's the last game of the day, in fact.
It is indeed. So
the Fighting Belichicks.
It's clear to me that the ACC is undervalued this year. That's what I learned the first weekend.
Now, I'm actually looking forward to hearing the TCU broadcast with former Virginia Tech and Memphis Tiger head football coach Justin Fuente as the new analyst on TCU football on the Varsity app. If you want to actually go enjoy that, unless you want to go enjoy Jones Angel and whoever their cohort of color analysts and sideline nerds are. But I think I will be listening to TCU tonight.
I'm just sort of astounded Alabama lost. Not only did they lose, they got killed.
Here's the thing, Pete. What do we talk about in season openers? We find out real quick what you find out what your flaws are and you hope you fix them in week two. I think the biggest winner in the SEC this past weekend was Tennessee kicking the ever living crap out of Syracuse. I mean,
The biggest winner was Brian Kelly because LSU had lost what 4 or 5 consecutive
I think it was five straight
and he had lost 3 including to USC last year, so mm-hmm. Brian Kelly was the biggest winner coaching wise this weekend.
Definitely. I think
we should give homage to our college folk, Missouri clobbered
I listened
Oregon
a little bit of that
clobbered
game.
A lousy team and yeah, USC clobbered a lousy and but Mitch USC covered the points.
We played the Sisters of Mercy is what we played Saturday I don't know what to make of that game at
nothing.
all.
Here's
nothing.
The thing.
I think that's exactly right.
By the way.
But they did do the point spread, Mitch. You said they wouldn't.
Yeah, yes. And I wasn't sure that they were going to make the point spread, especially after they came and scored that opening field goal. And I have to say, it's what we call in USC land, a perfect weekend, because we won. Notre Dame and UCLA both lost.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. Now here's the kicker though. Did you guys see the Wisconsin-Miami of Ohio game on Thursday night?
No.
I was listening to the Wisconsin broadcast. Wisconsin was messing around and letting them hang into the ball game, and it's only 3-0. I'm like, they won the game 17-0. I'm like, if this is how Wisconsin football is going to play this year, they are going to barely finish in the middle of the pack.
Wisconsin has been very good the past several years. So.
No, they have not. Luke Fickell better figure it out fast, because if he doesn't, he ain't going to last long.
I would think his seat is getting very hot up there.
Very quickly, yeah. That's probably
well, they're known for their linemen and then sprinkling in a few specialist players. So if their recruiting is falling off, or the linemen are leaving the state, or they're not producing those linemen like they used to, then, you know, they're going to have a hard time.
I can promise you, if Luke Fickell's gone, who's going to be coming out of that athletic office and coming out of retirement for a few games? Barry Alvarez.
So before we turn over, I have to say one thing to Michael. You were predicting Dallas finishing in last place. I still think the Giants going to finish in last place, because I think that their quarterback Wilson will get hurt after the first 3 or 4 games, and then I said that Inigo DeVita was going to take over. Well, Inigo DeVita got cut by the
don't you mean Tommy Cutlet said Gabagool and Gabagool? Yeah, he got cut.
But now we have the second guy, and Mitch, you will appreciate this, is Justin Dart, the renowned
Jackson Dart, actually. It's Jackson Dart.
And renowned, when things got a little tough for him at my alma mater, he split for greener pastures.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, okay.
I just want to finish my comment. It is Jackson Dart, of course. But I just can't see the Giants. Jackson may be a good player, but he's a rookie, so you really can't expect too much from him. I think the Giants just are worse than the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying the Giants are good. I'm not saying Dallas is good. I just think Giants are slightly worse.
Well, that's small consolation.
The Giant defense
is not that bad. So
no, but it's
the it's offense, their offense that's gonna the is, offense is gonna
is
drag
really
them.
That bad. That's the problem.
Here's a question I was gonna ask you guys, though, since we're circling down the coaching fire drain here. Who gets canned first? Daboll or the Fishies head coach, Mike McDaniel, or Cleveland Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who is really getting set up to fail? Which one of those three, or is there somebody that I'm missing that we need to look at as we look through the season, that we need to be keeping our ears on whose seat in the NFL is smoking to the point of where if it's not working very well, they're gone?
You left that one, Luther.
Who did I miss?
Not many people might look at it this way, but I think Mike Tomlin.
Here's the thing. I think Mike Tomlin, I think he's just going to walk. It would be on his terms. I don't think there's a possibility of this, you know, of the people that are running the Steelers to fire him like that. I think if it goes bad, he would just walk away on his own terms. I don't think they would say, "Hey, Mike, it's been nice, but we need to make a change." I think he would go on his own terms. And if that happens, how many teams do you think would fire their current coach right now to bring Mike Tomlin on board to change the direction of their franchise?
Well, the Giant fans were surprised that their coach is still there. He was terrible last year.
Oh, he was awful last year.
The theory is that he's there. He's sort of the coach bridge until next year when they hope to get a high draft pick and draft a quarterback, and then they'll fire the Giant coach and bring on somebody else who presumably will be able to coach the quarterback. That's their theory in Giant land. Whether it's true or not, who knows?
Is Mike McDaniel, in your opinion, along with Tua, is this a up or out year for them? I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it is. And Stefanski, I'm not sure.
The Jets are gonna battle for last place in the
end. I think so too. But I think here's the thing. I think the Pages are gonna be a little bit better than everybody really realizes.
New England. New England will be second in that division.
Yeah, but I don't think it's gonna be. I mean, they'll finish second, but I think they're just gonna. I think they're gonna sniff around the playoffs, but I think they're gonna miss. I think they'll finish second in the division.
You did
absolutely giving it to Buffalo.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. I don't trust Miami, and I'm not sure with Justin Fields with the PETS pets is going to be an ENOUGH to get them anywhere they need to go. I don't trust Fields either.
In fact, Michael, I would argue, talking about coaches on the hot seat, if the Bills don't make it to the Super Bowl, well,
McDermott's gone.
McDermott will be gone.
Yeah.
If they make the AFC Championship game and they can't get,
won't be enough.
I don't care if it's the Ravens, Chiefs, or anybody else that sneaks through the back door for the AFC. If the Bills don't get it this year.
Yep.
Would you put the Ravens in this category? Cause folks are saying if the Ravens don't get it done this year, Harbaugh's on the hot seat, but I don't buy that one though.
No, because McDermott has been closer longer.
Yes, he has. True.
So no, I don't think the Ravens, coach is, he may be a year away from that hot seat, but no, I don't think so.
They open with Baltimore.
Yep. Yep.
And that's a Sunday night game again.
But no pressure. I mean, you only live in the most god-awful city in the country, Buffalo.
And you have zero pressure to
hang on.
What do you really think of that city?
Hold on. It's on the Niagara Falls, for God's sake. Like that 30 for 30 where it said one more river to cross. Like, the only river you guys have is Niagara Falls, and when it snows, it's going to freeze over.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to know from, whoever's monitoring the Zoom here, how many people just left because they're from Buffalo?
Actually none.
I'm going to interrupt this because I want to open it up to our audience. This is in perspective. This is Peter Altschul.
No, it's not.
Wrong show. This is Sports Roundtable. What's in perspective? Never heard of in perspective. Well, what's Sports Roundtable? This is Sports Roundtable. I still have Peter Altschul from Coos Bay, Oregon. Ray, do we have any hands up?
You've got one. Gene Johnson, go ahead.
Let's take
Gene,
it.
Go.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right. So first and foremost, I am definitely looking forward to the Tar Heels game, to be honest with you. That's going to be an interesting game.
Very.
CBS is like the local station up here. They have, Steve Burton. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him or not.
He sounds familiar.
He's a sports analyst. He was also a former Patriot. They have a show on there, and I can't remember the guy's name, but one of the former Patriots analysts, his name was Ernie. I can't remember his name, but they're going to have a show on TV 38 called Burton Ernie.
It's
basically going to be like, you know, Patriots, you know, kind of like their thing that they do every year, but I'm looking forward to that. Now on to some of the questions about the Giants. So here's the thing. Keep in mind, the Giants did beat the Patriots in preseason. So I don't know if that counts for anything, Peter, but I mean, I'm still making a bet here that the Patriots will probably make the playoffs. I don't know how far.
If they do, it's probably going to be a wild card, but.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But to me, you know what preseason, you know what, even though I listen to preseason football, yeah. Preseason basically stands for Jack Swat Diddly Nothing.
Yeah, I get it, but I think you also, look, the thing is look at college football. They don't really have like a preseason.
They never have.
I don't really understand why the NFL has one. I mean, if they did, why did they narrow it down to 3 games? That to me just kind of says, okay, well, you know, figure out your roster
in a hurry because you got 91 players. You need to get down to 53 before such and such.
Right.
And it's on such a tight schedule where
they dropped Peppers from the Patriots.
I saw that today.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to sign in that spot unless they have one of their, you know.
Well, I'm not surprised with the thing that happened last year with him, but, as far as, you know, cause he had like some kind of issue with, carrying a gun to an airport, I think, if I remember correctly.
I think you're right. And also a salary cap dump too, because I think he was getting paid like 4.2 or 4.4.5, somewhere in that ballpark. And they were trying to save salary. So I'm thinking the Patriots are going to try to go younger across the board if they can. That's why a lot of the veterans of those previous regimes have been.
Pop Douglas is still there. And then the one I'm looking forward to seeing this year is Chisholm. He's going to be really good.
Chisholm really showed something in preseason. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing if Henderson can do what he can. He pick up what he, you know, was doing in preseason because he really jumped off the page in the Commanders game.
And I will just deviate for one moment from the NFL and whatnot. I do want to say I missed the Red Sox game on Friday, but they had Peyton, our new starting pitcher, that they basically got rid of Bueller.
Don told me this. He signed with the Phillies.
He signed with the Phillies, and I was holding my breath and hoping the Dodgers didn't sign him. So the Phillies, he's now a Phillies problem.
Well, you're lucky.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Well, I would say he probably would be a good wrap up pitcher, you know, with a bullpen, but you know, I don't know.
But the guy you mentioned is Payson Toley, as in holy moly.
Toley.
As long as you know how to pronounce that.
Payson Toley.
We got to see what he does, whether he's worth unloading. Bueller.
Well, I will say this. Red Sox right now are 15 games over 500, and they have a really good shot at making it to the World Series this year.
Here's the thing. You better hope and pray. You better hope you get the top wild card or the second one. But that AL East.
We're 2.5 games behind.
Well, the Yankees are 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that, look, the AL East has gotten really, I mean, that did the Archie Bell and the Trolls tighten up in a weekend. Thank you, Brewers, again.
And thank you, Reds, for beating Toronto today.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
By the way, you probably heard that the Dodgers, won it in a walk-off home run by Will Smith yesterday. I was at that game.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't hear that.
We blew a 4-0. Good old Tanner Scott, another mistake Andrew Friedman made.
Another gas can.
He gave up a 3-run home run in the top of the 8th, and I was with my brother-in-law, and we were complaining because Yamamoto pitched so well. And bottom of the 9th rolls around, and we just finished our second beers and our hot dogs and French fries, and Will Smith comes up and sends us all home.
Gotta like the fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yep. Who was doing the broadcast that day? Was that Never and Monday, or was that the other day?
No, it was Steve. It was Steven, Mr. Giggles Nelson, on Monday. I am not a Steven Nelson fan.
No, I'm a, men with, shouldn't with giggle. You, Mitch. Mitch, you would, with
I,
all the way.
I, never I like never men. Better.
I, yeah, I mean, men shouldn't giggle. That's, you know, especially on radio.
Yes, definitely radio.
By the way, I want to make a comment to, you were talking about, Gene, you were talking about Buffalo and coaches and all that. I think my prediction for coach of the year, it'll either be Mike Vrabel of the Pats, because the Pats, I believe, will make the playoffs, and or Ben Johnson of the Bears. One of those two coaches will be coach of the year.
Wow.
I would say Ben Johnson's a pretty good candidate too, to be honest with you. I will say this. If Mike Vrabel does not do well this year, Robert Kraft is going to be fuming, you know, so.
He did well in Tennessee. There's no reason to think he won't do well in New England.
I'm just saying that, you know, New England sports fans are pretty harsh, and I would just say that if he doesn't make a certain cut games this year, they're not going to be too happy.
Well, the first, they got a pretty winnable first four games. They
yes.
Vegas,
that's this
Miami,
is this is the yeah.
Pittsburgh and Carolina.
Yes, this is the truth.
Where they hit Buffalo,
so
they've got a pretty winnable schedule there.
I'm just saying that we should have beat the Giants too. So you know,
I just can't take preseason seriously. I agree.
I get
you.
It.
You can't. Yeah,
I can't. So I want to thank you for your comments and. Yeah. Ray, any other hands raised?
Not at this time.
So, I want to talk about baseball. You know, we've spent, and I'm guilty of this. We spent the first 40 or 45 minutes talking about football, and now baseball is Labor Day. This is the last month of the season. And so I want to sort of get a sense of where we're at when it comes to who you think's going to do what in the, you know, for the rest of the season and the playoffs. I'll start with the Dodgers. I don't see how the Dodgers can survive the playoffs given
I've been saying now ever since the Dodgers got shown up by the Brewers a few weeks ago. The Brewers are the best team in the National League.
Yeah.
And even though San Diego lost 2 out of 3 in Minnesota, I think their overall pitching is better than ours, and I think their hitting is more consistent, although I understand, reading Lee Hacksaw Hamilton this morning that Machado and Tatis are in horrific slumps. So apparently they're not hitting. But I think that at this stage with the Dodgers, maybe they're the fourth best team in the National League. I expect it to be Milwaukee and San Diego in the NLCS.
What do others think about the NL? I guess my question is on the NL East. I guess Philadelphia's going to win that, right? The Phillies?
That's going to depend on their pitching. They didn't need to lose Zach Wheeler.
No, they did not.
And they lost him to this thoracic outlet syndrome, which, by the way, ended the career of Matt Harvey. He never pitched again effectively after thoracic outlet syndrome.
I think that also ended James Rodney Richards' career.
He had a stroke, actually.
Really? Yeah, he had a stroke.
I don't know.
Was that not part of it? I thought he had, you know, I remember the stroke, but I also thought he had that other thoracic syndrome.
Not sure. I'd be very concerned about Wheeler coming back off this. And maybe there were other things with Wheeler, with Matt Harvey that I don't know about, you know, and maybe Wheeler will come back just fine, but maybe he won't.
And maybe that's the reason why they took Buehler.
The Phillies have to survive another month before they're in the playoffs, and then they'll have to see what happens in the playoffs, whether Buehler can pull it back together. He pitched at least one solid game in the last playoffs last year.
Yeah, he did, but obviously this year he was having big time trouble. I mean, I don't know how much I exchanged emails with Bob, and I'm thinking, I don't remember if Buehler signed more than a 1-year contract, but I wonder how much money the Red Sox ate by just letting him go.
Well, wow. I'll say this. I'm not super, I wasn't super interested in Buehler and look, I think he did. I think he would have been a better bullpen than a starter. And I know that's not what he was bought for. And I do think that they should have at least held on to him and kept him in the bullpen, but that's not what he wanted, I don't think either. And I don't think he would have been happy. That's why I think the trade went through, because he knew he was going to get a starting position with the Phillies. So I don't know, but the way that I see it,
it wasn't a trade. The Red Sox just simply designated him for assignment and cut him, which means they're on the hook for whatever salary he still owed. And the Phillies picked him up and,
it was signed for a year.
Okay. Well, then the Red Sox don't owe him a whole lot.
No.
And somebody next year, baseball general managers being who they are, somebody will take a shot at him. Maybe the White Sox,
the Rockies.
Or the Rockies. they'll take a shot at him and we'll see what happens.
Maybe the New York Jets will take a look at him.
hey, Mitch, here's the thing, though.
Jets, incompetence.
Mitch, here's the thing. The pale hose, the way that the biggest incompetent embarrassment of Major League Baseball needs all the help they can get.
Well, they're having a better season than the Rockies.
The Rockies are just terrible. They basically took the White Sox mantle and basically said, "Oh, you know,
hold my beer."
Oh yeah, exactly. Here's your 101 here. I'll raise you 110.
We can do it better than you.
It sucked at it even worse.
Well, the Rockies have. Have won recently. In fact, you know, they split four with us, which may or may not be saying anything. But
they beat the Cardinals 4 out of 6, which is an embarrassment in itself.
And they walked off the Cubs yesterday.
Colorado won't lose 120. Colorado won't lose 120 games this year.
No.
Like the Sox did last year.
Did I say, guys, that the two highest winning teams in baseball are going to play each other pretty soon? Milwaukee and Detroit?
Something like that.
Is Detroit still in the AL? Because they've lost some games. Is it Detroit or Toronto?
They're still in the AL. Yes.
I think they are. I'm saying, Detroit still the top team percentage-wise and win-wise?
Got 80 wins.
Hold on. Let me look at this.
Well, the Tigers lost to the Mets today.
They've got 80 wins.
Tigers lost to the Mets today, much to my delight.
Right. That's not saying anything.
The Dodgers have 77 and we're third or fourth in the NL. So is 80 wins enough to be,
They
got 80 wins.
It's
22 over.
Detroit's 80-59. Toronto with the loss today. Well, when I last checked, they were a game back. So right now, I believe with the Tigers winning, last time I checked, it's going to be...
Tigers lost.
Well, the Tigers lost and Toronto lost, so it's still a game for the best record of the American League.
Okay.
So, Mitch, you said that the Dodgers were the best team. Did I hear you say that in the NL? And then you said Milwaukee
by far... There are 30-some games over 500.
Right. No,
basically, it's a three-team race. Milwaukee, L.A., and Philadelphia right now.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else comes out of nowhere, but I don't see that happening.
I think the Phillies are one up on the Dodgers for that second bye. I think it's one game difference.
Okay. All right. And then we haven't talked about the American League at all. Let's give that a shot.
Toronto's going to be the dark horse in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of Toronto. I mean, the Yankees might cash Toronto for all I know.
I wasn't expecting the Yankees to tighten things up the way they have.
Ten minutes to the hour, guys.
Won 7 in a row until yesterday. That blew their 7-game-in-a-row winning streak. And so they were chasing the Toronto Blue Jays. Then they got beat by someone named Lemon for the Chicago White Sox, hit a home run off of them to to beat them in yesterday's game. And even with that 7-game winning streak, I'm still concerned with how one-dimensional my beloved Yankees are.
The thing is, Don, I mean, to their credit, they won games they should have won, which
yes.
is not always easy to do. You know, the Nationals are a terrible team.
The Nationals are bad. White Sox are awful.
And look at the bright side. Look at the bright side, Don, right? The Red Sox faced the Astros, and we didn't handle it very well. Lost that series. You guys faced them, and you beat them. So,
well, guess what? The Yankees have upcoming the murderer's row. They got Detroit. They got Toronto, and I think they got
they're in Houston Minnesota. Starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and
that I know.
And I think that's in Texas though, right?
Yeah, it's in Houston. It's going to get real interesting.
Red Sox have an easy way to victory. We are facing some pretty easy teams, Cleveland right now, and I think it's who's next after Cleveland?
I'll have to look, but I know
it's not a real.
I mean, it's not daunting, but here's the thing though. Just because we can say, oh, the Red Sox have a, you know, surplus of wins that they can, you know, go on the bank and go get. Just because we can say that doesn't mean it's
actually going to
happen.
Yeah.
By the way, look at when the Yankees walked into Miami and lost all three
to the Fish.
That was horrible.
By the way, Michael, did I hear correctly? Am I remembering that Seattle's making a run at Houston for the?
Yes, they AL are. West? But here's the problem. I think they're only two out. They, at one point they were a half game out. Then they got swept by the Phillies, which pushed them back a little bit. And the Astros took advantage of that. And then when the Astros had the day off, the Mariners won. So they stay within two.
Yeah.
And the Astros, I think, beat the Angels this afternoon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We were coming on.
Yeah. I don't.
As I said to you, Michael, when we talked recently, you should root for the Dodgers the last weekend of the year, because the Dodgers are up in Seattle playing them
at T-Mobile.
So you might want to root for us.
It'll depend on how the Astros hold out, whether they can hold out, because it's just gone terrible. And the games we didn't score any runs, or games we left 12 men on base.
Sounds like the Dodgers.
Sounds like the Red Sox.
Well, hold on. You know what? I think the American League is as wide open as I can remember it in quite a while.
I agree.
I don't know, because due to the fact that, you know, nobody's taking control of the American League for the best record. Look at Detroit, Toronto, and whoever else. I mean, they're in a tight scrum just to get the number one seed in the American League. And whoever gets that number one seed in the AL is vulnerable. I don't know, you know, whoever gets that one seed, if they're going to have enough.
By the way,
pitching in the AL is the reason that the games are so close, because I don't think pitching is very strong in the American League.
I don't think so either. I mean, look, it could be anybody coming out of the American League, and whoever comes out of the American League, the National League should, and this is the key word here, should have a psychological advantage when it comes to pitching.
So do you think the White Sox might make the playoffs, Luther?
No, Pete.
No, but actually, now that I think about it,
the teams that we were discussing, like Toronto,
we need to root for Houston to come from nowhere and for the Dodgers, because we might be able to reprise our nights in Vegas a few years ago with LA. Michael's going to be out and visiting us. Except this time you'll be on our turf.
Yeah.
Hey, is a Vegas Golden Knights hockey game in your future?
No, we won't be in Vegas. We'll be here.
We'll be in Pasadena.
Okay.
So one other comment I want to make about football before the season starts, we didn't sort of talk about who might win which conference. But one of the two teams I'm interested in are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Minnesota Vikings. And the reason I'm interested in both those teams is they both won ridiculously numbers of close games, both teams. And those things seem to even out, you know, season to season. And there are some people, a minority, who think Kansas City will not win the AFC.
I think they're gonna. Well, we'll find out a week.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Matter of fact,
good, and San Diego's pretty good in that.
Here is my bold prediction. Kansas City will finish third in the AL AFC West. They will finish behind Denver and the LA Chargers.
I don't trust the Chargers. I mean, I'm sorry.
I do. Well, this year I do.
Well, here's the problem.
Minnesota will finish dead last in the
reason why they're going to finish dead last is two words. J. McCarthy.
There are three much better teams than Green Bay, Minnesota, and Green Bay,
Detroit,
Chicago.
I think Chicago finishes third. I think the Chiefs win the AFC West, but it's not going to be as dominant as they usually is. I think Denver finishes second and gets a wild card. I think there's a possibility that the AFC West gets three. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, in any order you wish, but I think those are the three coming out of the AFC West.
Friendly wager. Folks, Kansas City won't win more than 10 games.
Thank you all for being part of this.
I'll respond to your wager by the time that game is over.
We can continue this conversation next week when by that point, week one will be almost over. Thank you for being part of this discussion. Thank you for listening. We will come back again next week. In the meantime, and Bob, of course, will be back. In the meantime, blessings, peace, and joy to all of us.